The future of LSU football is outperforming. We'll get a live report from the opening. The Pelicans go overseas for what they hope will be a stretch steal. We'll get the lowdown, plus everything involving football. Mike Dettelier makes a visit with us today, Tuesday, July 2nd, 2019.
A swing and a fly ball out to right center field, and this one is gone! Josh Bell is in his third home run tonight! The first Pirate switch hitter to ever hit three home runs in a game. A career-high seven RBIs, and the Pirates are flogging the Cubs 18-5.
One ball, two strikes to Longoria, who has lined out to short. He had a double to knock in a run and has popped up the second. He swings and he drives one deep into left field. Way back there, still going. Adios, Pelota! 8-1 Giants.
Now Freddie Galvis, swing at the first pitch. It's a high fly ball to deep right center. Has Freddie done it again? Hamilton back at the wall. It's gone! What has gotten into Freddie Galvis? Two long, loud home runs in back-to-back at-bats on back-to-back pitches.
And a great good afternoon. How is your Tuesday, July 2nd, 2019? From the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. That's where my main man is, in the master control suite. CD, he's the stick that stirs the drink. Wow, yours truly here, Studio 1A, and we have a busy 2 hours planned for you and yours. Again, our thoughts and prayers to head coach Tony Robichaud. They'll have a function tonight at the Teague, a prayer meeting, a prayer session. And if you can't be there, just get on a knee or stand up, whatever, however you do your praying. Pray for the recovery and the health of a legendary figure in Tony Robichaud. Busy day. LSU's got some of their up-and-coming recruits who hopefully will one day star in Tiger Stadium. They're at the opening in Texas. Billy Umbody will join us to talk about T.J. Finley, Jermaine Burton, and a whole bunch of others live from the opening. Sam Meyerkoff is a basketball junkie. He is a European scout for college basketball in the NBA. And he will join us this afternoon at around 2:30 to talk about a kind of under the radar acquisition that the Pelicans have made. That he's not a youngster by any stretch of the imagination, but it's kind of a San Antonio Spurs kind of move. And we'll find out what this man, Melly, is all about from Sam Meyerkoff. So we're looking forward to Sam coming on. Shemit Dua will join us from Bourbon Street Shots as the Pelicans Summer League team is getting ready to get underway. Zion will be playing. Some of the other draftees will not. We'll get the latest from Shamit from Vegas. And then our good friend Mike Dettelier will join us. He just completed the Manning Passing Academy and Joe Burrow turning heads. Not only for what he does on the field, but he's kind of a guy's guy. He's one of those guys that everybody kind of wants to hang around. Everybody wants to play with and play for. And that only bodes well for LSU football. If you're a soccer fanatic, We have got a semifinal going on in the World Cup. England and USA. Megan Rapinoe, the star for USA, not starting today. All that was said was it's not for any disciplinary reasons. Maybe she's tired, fatigued, whatever. But they're just underway. 7 minutes and some change into it. Zip, zip, USA and England. So we'll keep you appraised of that. Ben Simmons, the former LSU Tiger, is fixing to become a very wealthy taxpayer. Ben Simmons progressing toward a 5-year, $170 million maximum contract extension by the Philadelphia 76ers. Not bad. Here's a kid that if the rules had been in place differently, he never, ever would have come to LSU. Ever. And it caused a lot of disdain. It wasn't the happiest of marriages on both parts. But who's got the last laugh? Ben Simmons. And what an interesting team they should be with Al Horford coming over, Jimmy Butler leaving. They'll be interesting. The NBA has been terrific. It just has been terrific. It's not over. It's not done with. I'm still waiting to see if David Griffin has another rabbit up his that he's going to pull out of his hat. I'm just curious as to what's going to happen there. Other than that, we just got baseball and this soccer. Wimbledon, Roger Federer was a winner today in four. He lost the first set, won the next three. Rafa Nadal was a winner today. Serena Williams was a winner today as well. So no real surprises. And Team USA just gets on the board. This is great. Doing radio, live television on hand, and a header into the net. And Team USA, boy, they are good. They are good. A one-zip lead over England, 9 minutes and about 15 seconds into it, and they've got the lead. Not bad. Christian Press, who is filling in for Megan Rapinoe, comes through. So they get the ball to the right wing, gets in the corner, centers it upstairs and in. What a great play. So we've got a goal. And if CD were on the mic, he would scream out, "Go!" But I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that. So we are brought to you each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets. There's over 60 of them now in southern and central Louisiana. Everything you can imagine under the sun is in those buildings to make your journey all the more enjoyable. Everything. Cleanest restrooms, every snack and beverage you could ever imagine. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, man, you just can't shop right at all. We're going to Texas. When we return, we're going to get the very, very latest on the opening. A lot of LSU commits. A lot of LSU that they want to get committed are out there showing their very best amongst the very best. And we'll get the update from Billy Embody of Go247 Sports next. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. We're on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Come on back. Go! That's terrible. I'll keep practicing.
Topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. 14 minutes and some change after the hour. Frisco, Texas is the home of the opening finals. 4 days of training, coaching, competition for the country's most elite high school football players. Every position and every aspect of the game is highlighted over the course of the three-day program. And everybody who's anybody that follows the best of the best in high school football is there. Billy Embody, is there. Go to 47 Sports. It's at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, Texas. Billy, kind enough to join us. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Jordy. How are you?
I'm terrific. Boy, it's an invite-only event, and so the best – this is the cream of the crop, correct?
Yes, it is. Yep. They all converge here in Texas at where the Dallas Cowboys headquarters are at the Star, and they go through drills for a few days and 7-on-7 and 1-on-1s and all of that. They get pushed about as much as they can in the offseason by these guys.
LSU, I'm sure, well represented by commitments and guys that they're still trying to get commitments from. Kind of give me a list, if you can, of some names that are out there that are there that LSU fans would recognize.
Let's start with the commits that are here, and one that's been here since Friday is quarterback T.J. Finley. He's a part of the Elite 11 finals. He's trying to compete to land in that top 11 to take his team into the final days of the 7-on-7 tournament play, which will begin tomorrow. He's looked pretty good. He's flashed his big arm. He's really, that's the big thing that stood out, which everyone really knows him for. I think he's connecting well with wide receiver commit Jermaine Burton, who's on his team. Burton really is coming off a strong day. He clocked a 4.4 back-to-back 40-yard dash. He was one of the top six overall testers in terms of athleticism here at the entire event, which is really saying something. And so he's somebody that's on the rise. His route running has been phenomenal. And then two corner commits are Lorando Johnson, who's kind of a nickel safety type guy for LSU in their recruiting class, and he was a late add with Major Burns having gotten hurt. He's got a knee injury, so he's sitting out of the event. But Lorando's had a couple interceptions today, and he looked good. And then Elias Ricks, the five-star cornerback, was our alpha dog yesterday on day one. He's about as competitive as you can get, and he actually helped himself even more. He ran a 4.5, so he kind of quieted a little bit of some questions in terms of his top-end speed. He's got some of the best fundamentals in the country at the cornerback position, and he's got the length, he's got the competitiveness, and he's just been an absolute star. So those are the commitments. As far as targets go, Marcus Dumervil, the South Florida offensive tackle, has been outstanding as well. He was really our top offensive lineman yesterday in the camp. He had a real strong showing. And then he's probably, you know, a lot of people kind of have him pegged for LSU, and they're in a real good spot as he continues to kind of go through the recruiting process. And I think he takes it a little bit farther, but LSU's in a really good spot for him. As far as other targets, Mason Smith, actually, out of Terrebonne. He's one of the few juniors invited to the event. He's a 2021 defensive tackle, and he looks like he should be fitting in you know, very, very well for just a rising junior. He's already one of the top defensive linemen in the country. So those are just some of the names here to really know.
I'm seeing this Marcus Dumervil looks like he could be a senior in college already. He has got, he's got quite the body already. He looks like he would be a guy that could step in and play right away.
Yeah, and he's shown the quickness to do that, too. And sometimes offensive linemen have to rework their bodies. We've seen Cardell rework his body already since he's been on LSU's campus, Anthony Bradford, guys like that. If Marcus Dumervil kind of maintains and keeps his body the way he is, he'll be more ready to go even than some of those guys. So he's somebody that can definitely see his stock rise, too, with this event. He's just been that impressive, and it's a credit to him because he's coming off a really strong spring. And he's also teammates with LSU offensive line commit Marlon Martinez. So I know he's in his ear trying to get him on board. And, you know, we'll kind of see if they can get continue to have the momentum in that one.
Billy Embody of GoTo 47 Sports at the opening in Frisco, Texas, at the Star, the Ford Center. Word came out that at the end of this month, Jacques Roy is going to make his commitment. Three SEC schools in the hunt. We know about Texas A&M, and then it always seems to come down between LSU and Alabama. LSU's got a lot of defensive linemen already committed, but, boy, they sure would love to get that guy.
Yeah, I think Roy is somebody that, and we've, Shea Dixon, who's really kind of had a good feel for, I think, how he wants to attack his recruiting process, at least when it actually kind of all boils down to when he wants to decide. And he felt, and going into the summer, that that Roy wouldn't make it out of the summer uncommitted, whether that be to LSU or Alabama. And sure enough, now Roy's going to announce his commitment on July 26th, and it's a big domino. And the commitment comes on that Friday that the open recruits can go on visits. So I think there's still some uncertainty in terms of, well, is it LSU? Is it Alabama? That day is Alabama's cookout that they have on July. They do it every weekend. But Roy is having a commitment party that day. So it kind of makes me kind of feel like, okay, that's going to be in Baton Rouge. He's not going to be in Tuscaloosa. There's some confidence on both sides of this recruitment, because really I do think it's an LSU-Alabama battle. But right now I think the picks are in for LSU, and it'll be one where you monitor and you're probably nervous all the way up until signing day, even when he makes a commitment. But, I mean, it does bode well for LSU that Roy is picking that date before the end of the summer to announce. And that's really what a lot of people feel like.
All right, Billy Embiid, to go 247 Sports, kind of reading between the tea leaves. Back to T.J. Finley. Just never having seen the kid, but just looking at the dimensions, he sounds like a Jamarcus Russell to me. You've watched him. What are his strengths? What are his weaknesses? And what do you foresee him down the road as a college football player at the most important position on the field?
I think one thing to know about T.J. is just how competitive he is. And I do feel like there's a couple things, right? He's always out at 7-on-7 events. He always wants to go out and compete with the best of the best, because I think he feels a little slept on being at Ponchatoula, not having great stats, not having won that many football games. So he goes out on the national circuit and competes, and I think that's a big reason why he's here. He had a kind of an okay Saturday night, the first workout. He was just okay. Sunday, he was the best quarterback on the field. Really showed it in one-on-ones, really showed it just in every drill. He was on fire. And then Monday came, and I think for the most part, he had a strong showing as well. So he's somebody that I think needs to work on his body, needs to work on his mobility. I think that's probably the biggest concern I have, is how well can he move in the pocket and escape what every college quarterback has to deal with, and that's pressure. Can he do it? Because he's got a big arm. I think he needs to follow through a little bit more on his throws, and do some of those tiny little things a little bit better. But he's a big arm quarterback. He's got the size. I think once he gets into a college program, he'll look, you know, better as well, in terms of just his body and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you don't mind me kind of changing directions here, there was some basketball news today. Kevin Nickelberry, former head coach at Howard, joining the LSU coaching staff as an assistant to the head coach, Will Wade. What's going on there? What's that all about?
I think it's just a great, great addition. A lot of people think highly of Kevin Nickelberry. It didn't work out at Howard. I think he's somebody that's a really strong assistant. He's not going to be in a assistant role, at least this year. It wouldn't surprise me, I think, if, you know, Greg Heyer is very highly thought of in coaching circles, and he could end up being a head coach, you know, somewhere down the line. And I think Kevin would be a kind of a natural replacement if that were to happen. But he's somebody that has very, very strong ties in the DMV area, a place that Will Wade also knows very, very well. Just a well-respected veteran coach, and you can't have enough of those. And to have really, I mean, an extra, you know, head coach on the staff, that can advise Will Wade, that can advise some of these assistants, especially with Tasman Mitchell being a first-time assistant. I think that's big. So I think he'll help just the whole staff all around.
Yeah. Will went a little bit younger than Ed Orgeron did in bringing back John Robinson to the fold. How about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, some people point to his age, but that guy has forgotten more football than probably any of us have. So I think anytime you can surround yourself with good football minds and experience, it's a positive.
What is your sense, what is your feel as you're watching all these elite high school players of the LSU brand that has that Ed Orgeron's works and his staff has worked so hard to spread nationally. What is your feeling when you say LSU around players?
Yeah, I think exactly what you alluded to. It is a national brand. Especially with the recruiting class that they've put in place, they've really made it a national brand again. And it's a hard thing to do. I mean, only so many programs can be national and can really own that. And I think LSU is one of those programs now that you can definitively say moving forward under Ed Orgeron that they're going to be. And there's excitement. I think you talk to any of these players that are being recruited on the offensive side of the ball that have talked with Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger. They're excited about watching the direction of the offense this fall. They want to see it. They're being told all these things, but they want to see it. And then, of course, the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you've already got DBU, and you've got Elias Ricks, who, while he has ties to Louisiana, he's been in California for quite some time, so he's committed to the Tigers. And then we're talking about Marcus Dumervil, who's a South Florida prospect. So it really is a national brand that they've put together, and I think. As our national recruiting analyst Greg Biggins told me today, part of it is really the legend of Ed Orgeron, the recruiter, and that's how he put it. And Greg's been out on the West Coast, and you know, people don't really throw that around lightly. And Greg's been out on the West Coast for he's one of the godfathers of recruiting out there, and he said that to me today. I said, what is it about the success that they've had on the West Coast? What can you attribute that to? And he said, well, it's the legend of Ed Orgeron, and it goes back to his USC days. And I think he's built off of that nationally as a staff and has created this national brand.
Billy, I can't thank you enough. Billy Embody, go to 47 Sports in 30 seconds. Last year it was Stingley, I guess Cardell Thomas, John Emery. Those were the big three, I guess, from what I've told. If you could... Right here, right now, is it Ricks? Is that the pick of the litter?
Ricks, Burton. Burton's doing as much as anyone to help his stock. I mean, he could end up being a five-star player. If not, he's going to be right there at the end of it. So Ricks, Ricks, Burton, and then if they can get Roy into the fold and he has a strong senior year, I could see him being a potential five-star, at least top 50 type. But, those are the three probably that you can point to and say that's the cream of the crop right there.
All right, go put your cowboy hat on, go get a steak, and thanks for the report from Frisco, Texas, my friend. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Go throw on my boots. A little hot.
There you go. All right, Billy Embody, go to 47 Sports. We'll take a quick time out here when we come back. It's time to go across the pond to find out one of the newest additions to the Pelicans. Is he going to be a contributor early? Sam Meyerkoff next, the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. The Jordy Hultberg Show as free agency continues in the NBA. Yeah, we know about J.J. Redick and what he brings to the table for the New Orleans Pelicans, along with former Jazz mainstay Derek Favors. But kind of sneaky in between all that, David Griffin went out across the pond to Europe to get a veteran European player in Nicolò Melli. And I don't know much about Nicolò Melli, but I know who does, and that is Next Step Basketball. He's a scout. He's coaching. He travels a lot. He goes by the Twitter handle of @HoopLikeDrazen. You need to know about European basketball. Nobody better than Sam Meyerkoff, who's kind enough to join us. Sam, thank you for the time, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me.
How many frequent flyer miles do you have, buddy? I mean, gee whiz.
a ridiculous amount.
We'll talk. Maybe you can share some of those down the road. Okay. Anyway, have you seen Nicolò Melli play? And if you have, can you kind of give me a scouting report on one of the newest members of the Pels?
Yeah, sure. I've seen him play for a number of years now. I saw him play even live this year in Istanbul. He's a stretch big. I mean, he's a four mainly. Sometimes in Europe, he would play the five. Probably for NBA standards, he's more of just a straight four. Super smart player, good shooter, really savvy. He kind of has like some of maybe the European qualities that people associate stereotypically. He's not the most physical player, I would say. He's going to do most of his work kind of finesse, passing the ball, shooting the ball. He can post up, he can cut, but it's more about the stretchability. So anytime you have a guy like him who can really stretch the defense, I mean, I know you guys had Mirotić. He's not as a light-side shooter. He's more of a cerebral player. One of the best players in Europe, one of the best forwards in Europe, someone NBA teams have been on for years now.
He's a guy that the Pelicans are expecting to come in and contribute right away. I mean, you don't want to clog up the middle with Zion, so you got to get guys that can stretch the floor but still give you enough size to go in there and maybe rebound the basketball, and that's kind of the impression I get from your description of Melly.
Yeah, he's a great complement to Zion. Someone that can stretch, someone that can run pick and roll with Zion. Either one could be the ball handler or the screener. He can throw lob passes, but yeah, he can also rebound. He opens up the floor is what he really does.
And people kind of get this misconception of players that are not from the United States, but take a look at all the award winners this year. The MVP, the Greek Freak, Antetokounmpo from Greece, Nigeria, Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert from France, the most improved player, Siakam from Cameroon, and the Rookie of the Year is Doncic from Slovenia. The NBA has really become globular.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, no question the NBA has talent from all around the world, and that's how you also get, creativity and diversity, on the floor as far as playing styles and different matchups, and that's kind of what the rest of the world brings as they're, teaching basketball a little differently, and it's also about getting a deal, too. I mean, Melly didn't come for the minimum, but it's not like it's such a high salary, whereas you see Maxi Kleber, he signed a $35 million deal with the Mavs. Daniel Tice signed for a bigger deal to re-sign with the Celtics. Once they're over here and people actually see him, the value skyrockets if they do well. So if he does, if he's a rotation player, it's a steal.
And we mentioned Nikola Mirotić before. He's heading back to play in Europe, right? He doesn't want to play in the NBA anymore.
Yeah. The plan is for him to go to Barcelona. In Europe, they pay the taxes on your contract. So all that money is yours. So it's net, it's euros. So I guess that he's not leaving that much money on the table, but it's pretty bizarre with the way the NBA has money now for a guy to go back.
Yeah, Sam Meyerkoff, kind enough to join us. Why now? Why the Pelicans for Nicolò Melli? What happened there? I mean, I'm sure he's been – the Nets were looking at him, and when Trajan Langdon was in their front office, he had scouted this guy. Why now? What's happened there?
Yeah, I'm timing-wise, I'm not totally sure. I mean, his contract with Fenerbahce is up. They, they didn't win the championship the last 2 years, and maybe other teams were offering in the past more of a minimum, and the Pelicans with an exciting new team, kind of a European inclined front office. Of course, Trajan is a legend in Europe from his time in CSKA Moscow. And the opportunity and the money.
Wow. The Dallas Mavericks sure have a European flair to them, don't they?
Yes. Yeah. They damn sure do.
Wow. You've been following European basketball for a long, long time. When I played way back in the day, it was like European teams could only have two Americans on them, and basically they didn't want guards because everybody was a guard in Europe, so they wanted bigs. Boy, times have changed. The game of basketball has changed dramatically. What's it like? What are the crowds like? What are the arenas like? What is it like in European basketball?
I would say it depends on the country, but the real basketball places, Spain, Italy, Serbia, Greece, Lithuania, it's about passion. I mean, you know, the fans are absolutely bonkers. The arenas, I mean, there's some new arenas, but there's also some old classic places. And it's really about just the passion, devotion is just, like, intense.
You know, the NFL's trying to, obviously they're playing games mm-hmm. in Europe. They're playing games in Mexico. The NBA, do you ever foresee the NBA going in that direction, or is it too big as it is with the EuroLeague?
I think the creation of a brand new franchise would be difficult to get fans on board with, but if you could convince a Real Madrid to join, then maybe you would have a chance. Because I mean, you need to bring the fandom with you. Just to create something uh-huh. is probably too difficult.
I got you, Sam Meyerkoff, kind enough to join us. You mentioned the exciting new-look Pelicans. When you look at what David Griffin has done, and you know David Griffin, you know his reputation, kind of in a 16-day period, they have transformed a franchise. What are your early thoughts on this team?
I mean, I think it's just like an incredibly modern basketball team. And the old Pelicans had AD, but they always had these kind of old-school lineups, and just not a lot of versatility. I think this roster is so fluid with so many guys that can move around and play together and do different lineups that, I mean, it's going to be so exciting to watch.
I don't think they're going to hold the ball very long, do you? I think
no,
they'll get some,
no,
get some shots up.
Around.
Yes. So EuroLeague, is it over and done now? Pardon my ignorance here. What is keeping... What is keeping Sam busy these days?
EuroLeague is over. Yeah, all the competitions in Europe have finished, the Spanish League and all the domestic competitions. But, you know, this is the busiest time of the year with signings. You know, an NBA Summer League not only is a big event for the NBA, it's also like an international conference. I would say, you know, there's teams from 30 different countries around the world that'll be in Vegas scouting, watching, you know, whoever doesn't want to go to the NBA. So I will be in Vegas to catch all the excitement.
Unbelievable. The world traveler that is. Who?
Yep.
All right. So in the NBA, the Toronto Raptors were the world champions in the NBA. What's the best team? What is the best team in Europe?
CSKA Moscow won the EuroLeague this year, so I guess technically speaking they're the best team. The best franchise the last 5 years is probably Real Madrid, Fenerbahce in Istanbul, Barcelona. These are kind of the big dogs.
Is there another Luka Doncic growing out in the weeds somewhere?
Luka is almost special unto himself, you know. There are some interesting prospects, but there's no one right now that's kind of at that insane potential level.
I mean, you think of Dirk, you think of Kristaps. We go back even further to some of the great players there. If you could give, like, your all-time, all five, your starting five European players that came to the NBA, who would they be?
I guess it would be probably something like Tony Parker, Drazen Petrovic, Dirk Nowitzki, Sabonis, and then maybe like a Peja Stojakovic or I don't know who the third one. I mean, probably, hopefully it ends up being Luka. You know, the spot is kind of open for him.
I forgot about Sabonis. Sabonis almost came to LSU. Dale Brown set up a meeting.
Yeah.
And he almost came to LSU. Story. What a behemoth he was. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been, I remember that story in Sports Illustrated a couple of years ago. That would have been, unfortunately, the Soviet Union still existed. But that would have been unbelievable and cool if something like that was ever pulled off.
That's one of the greatest games I ever got to play in. We got to play the Soviet Union Olympic team. They came to Baton Rouge, and we beat them in overtime, something like 99-90. It was incredible. Dale Brown saying, if we lose this game, communism will take over the world. So he put a little bit of pressure on us, Sam.
Yeah, talk about pressure. Wow, that's intense.
So in a nutshell, as we go completely full circle, do you like the pick of Nicolò Melli, and do you think he is a what are your expectations for him in the NBA with the Pelicans?
Solid rotation player, you know, play 15, 20 minutes a game, space the floor, move the ball. There'll be some games where they won't be able to guard him, and he's hot, and he just runs the offense. I mean, this is a guy that you can flow offense through when you want to move guards around or bigs around, and I think just a really, really good contributing player to a team, a guy who has a skill set that fits so many different guys. I think it's a steal. I mean, these are the type of guys who are just ready to step in the NBA and contribute right away.
I kind of called it a San Antonio-ish kind of a move, and if you do that,
totally.
I kind of like that. Is that a fair assessment?
Totally. That it's a stealthy, Spursy type. Okay, you know. Now it's up to the coaching staff to use him correctly. He is not a super physical player. You know what I mean? I don't want to call him soft.
Right.
But he's not a guy who's like got that dog in him. So it's on the coaching staff a little bit to get him moving in the NBA. But skill, talent-wise, it's no question.
Sam, thank you so much for your time. Happy 4th of July to you. Have fun in Vegas.
Hey, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Sam Meyerkoff, kind enough to join us. Anything European hoops, he is the go-to guy. A steal. Nicolò Melli. About 6'9", 230, knockdown threes. I like the pick. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one, set the stage for hour number two. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, brought to you by Hooters. Happy hour 3 to 6. And right now, we're tied at halftime, 1-1, USA and England. Come on, Team USA. Let's get it done across the pond. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
All right, welcome back. 51 minutes after the hour. Hope you're having a great one. Don't forget about Ducks. Ducks cleaning America's air from the inside out. Let the pros clean your air ducts. Let the pros get all that lint out of your dryer vent. You talk about save money and save the wear and tear on your dryer. In the sun, in the summertime, your kids are swimming or they're out there sweat towel after towel after towel after towel. That lint collects and just wears out your machine. Let Ducks, D-U-C-T-Z, get all that lint out of there and let your machine run smoothly. The clothes and the towels will dry quickly, and you'll save a lot of money as well on your energy bill. So Ducks, cleaning America's air from the inside out. Alex Morgan scored her 6th goal of this World Cup. A diagonal ball over the top as the Team USA now has a 2-1 lead at halftime. Alex Morgan celebrating a birthday today, getting a goal as well. 2-1 USA over England. Sad, sad, sad news in baseball as last night Los Angeles Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs died at the age of 27. Leading to the postponement of the team's game against the Texas Rangers on Monday, police responded to a report of an unconscious man in a hotel room in South Lake, Texas, and pronounced Skaggs dead at the scene. No foul play is suspected. An investigation is going on. My God, can you imagine that team? You just on an Instagram account Sunday, a photo of the Angels players wearing cowboy hats by their plane was posted on Skaggs' Instagram account with a picture writing, "Howdy, y'all," making a reference to the team's road trip to Texas. The Angels are scheduled to go to Houston for a three-game series this weekend after playing the Rangers. Wow. Apparently, players and coaches arrived at the ballpark for Monday night's series opener. They left about 4 hours before the schedule started the game to return to the hotel. The clubhouse was never open to the media. None of the players spoke to reporters at the hotel. I can't imagine what's going through all those players and how they get all through this. I have no idea. 27 years young. That's just awful. So our thoughts and prayers to his family. Our thoughts and prayers to Tony Robichaud. Again, a prayer service tonight at the Teague. What a great guy. He's been such a friend of our program. I've known Tony for years and years and years. Such a tribute to, put it this way, no one's ever had an unkind word to say about Tony Robichaud. So we're all praying for you, Coach. You're tough, you're strong, and we know you're going to get through this and you're going to be better than ever. Better than ever. So to his lovely wife and his family, we're here for you, and we're all in this boat together with you. In hour number two, I'm really looking forward. Shamit Dua of Bourbon Street Shots will join us. Summer League's about to start for the Pelicans. Zion will be there. They're in Vegas practicing today, Wednesday, and Thursday, and they'll play on Friday. A chance for Zion to kind of show what he does. And I'm sure the Pelicans will be very judicious in the amount of time that he spends on the court and plays. But I think it's great, and I think you'll see a lot of people watching these games. They're putting them on prime time, national television, just to see this kid do what he can do. So we'll talk to Shamit about that. Mike Dettillier will join us. Joe Burrow may have known about 10 names when he arrived at LSU, but now he knows an awful lot. And I think he is the key to LSU's season. I think he's one of those, he's a Matt Mock, Matt Flynn type of a quarterback. Now, Matt Flynn had a brief hiccup in the NFL. Greatest gig ever. Held a clipboard, got into one game, threw for a ridiculous amount of yards, signs a lucrative contract, and then the Seattle Seahawks draft a quarterback who was just better. And Matt Flynn just held a clipboard and made a lot of money doing so. But he is in line with those type. And by those type, I mean great leaders. A quarterback that the team believes in. A quarterback that the team would run through a wall for. And I think that's what Joe Burrow is bringing to the table. He doesn't have to throw for, he threw for 3,000 yards last year, right? He threw for a lot more touchdowns than he had INTs. He had a really good year. Thus, LSU wins 10 games. And of those games, he was hurt a lot of the time, and he just gutted it out, got through it. If he's healthy with this new system, I'm telling you, he's the kind of guy. He'll dive and get that extra yard to keep a drive alive. He'll be that kind of guy. We'll talk to Mike Dettillier, who saw him up close and personal at the annual Manning Passing Academy, and a whole lot of other things with MD. It's all coming your way, hour number two. Very busy day. Great to be with you. CD taking us to break. We'll come back. Hot topics next up on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7 The Game. That got 60 days away from the start of football. 60. That's it. Whew. Popcorn ready.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown.
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Holtberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Holtberg.
All right, hour number two of two, and away we go. It's Tuesday, the second day of July. The second half of the World Cup semi has begun with Team USA up 2-1 over England. Great to see Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal win again at Wimbledon in their opening matches. Serena Williams wins hers. And away we go. Busy second hour, so let's do what we do at this time of day. We take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD! Button, please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious. Decidedly better.
All right. Soccer making it interesting, but well, I like Team USA wearing the red. England in the white, but Team USA taking care of business to date. CD, good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Jordy, it's definitely an entertaining ball game. It seems like it's as expected when you just look at what the England team has done as of late, hiring a former Man U player, which is a big reason why their set piece is the way they are, Jordy. But it's definitely been entertaining. Can they hold on? Currently up 2-1 in the second half. It is still quite early on.
It is early on, but how about Alex Morgan ringing in her 30th birthday in style to put the USA up 2-1? So not bad, not bad. I don't understand. I love the women's soccer team is so good, and the men just aren't. It's just kind of, the women dominating. So kudos to them.
Oh, trust me, Jordy.
Our men's team is terrible.
Maybe the men's team is getting a little bit better, Jordy, because currently they're poised to be in the semifinals for the CONCACAF Gold Cup going down tomorrow night against Jamaica. Yeah, they don't have a bobsled team. They have a soccer team.
Yeah, go beat Spain. Go beat France. Go beat England. Go beat Brazil in the men's, and then you're good. Jamaica, please. Come on.
Hey, Jordy, like I said, you got to start somewhere. When you look at the way that the Gold Cup has been for Team USA, I think that they can win it. It's a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
But looking over at the NBA, Jordy, of course, the biggest thing coming out of it is 76ers are offering the max deal for Ben Simmons, and I'm definitely surprised at that. I mean, you think about it, like it feels like to me they're starting to build towards Joel Embiid being the face of the franchise. But you're offering Simmons, a guy who hasn't necessarily been able to do a whole lot from three-point range, a max deal.
No, they know he can't shoot. That's just going to be icing on the cake if that ever comes. But they love his playmaking skills. They love his defense. They love the fact that he can rebound it and take it up the court. Is there a bigger team in the world than the Philadelphia 76ers? My goodness gracious. Embiid, Horford, Simmons. They're huge. They present all kind of mismatches, but they've got to get some shooters. But good for Ben Simmons. Again, I said it earlier, if the rules had been different, he never would have come to LSU. He'd have gone straight to the NBA, never would have gone to college. That has always been his dream. It was kind of a strange year when he was at LSU with that film crew following him everywhere. It caused a lot of dissension in that locker room. It was just a bad, bad overall year. But you could see, there's no question. He got to the NBA, got better players around him. He was going to thrive. His numbers have been great, and now he's getting bigger numbers where it counts in his bank account.
Exactly, Jordy. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Ben Simmons down the line, if he can truly become a great player. But I think, obviously, another player.
Why can't you learn to shoot, Ben, right?
Why
can't you learn to shoot? Exactly. What else do you do in basketball?
You shoot.
You know, I said it's the only sport in the world where you don't need anybody to help you.
Yeah.
You got a ball, you got a hoop. You shoot. Every other sport, somebody's got to throw it to you or catch it from you or whatever. Basketball's, how can you not learn how to shoot? I don't get it.
Exactly. I think that's the biggest reason why I'm surprised they're going to wind up offering him a max deal, according to the reports. But another player that seems to be just on the outside looking in when it comes to free agency is Boogie Cousins, the veteran. The free agent market for him, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, may have dissolved. May not even get a mid-level exception. Are you surprised that Jordan is seeing him kind of fall this far down in the free agent market?
You know, I'm a firm believer in a couple of things. One, attitude and demeanor. And, you know, it's kind of like, in the NBA, they go with talent. I understand that. But, man, he's a big dude carrying a lot of weight. And he's had the Achilles and now the calf. As a GM, you are obligated to your owner to get play. What's the most important thing? Ability is reliability and dependability. And he's been on the shelf for a while now, and I think teams are scared to death that their owners are going to get mad at him. What am I doing paying this guy this amount of money, and he never plays? So I'm a little surprised, but not that much. Somebody will give him an opportunity. And again, if Boogie can stay healthy and put up the numbers that we all think he can, then he's still young. He'll reap the benefits, but he's got to get healthy. And I think that's the problem. Plus, I think, you know, everywhere he goes, they lose. They do. I don't like him as a player. I'm sorry. Never have. Never will. I would never have him on my team. Ever.
All right, Jordy, I like that a lot. I like it a lot.
Is that too strong?
Oh, no.
Is that too strong of a statement?
I think that's a hot take, Jordy. I absolutely love it. Keep them coming, Jordy. It's Hot Topics after all. Gonna keep it rolling on, sticking with the NBA, because that's definitely what's causing all this. Jimmy Butler, apparently he rejected a max offer from Philly to join the Heat for less money. Like, what's the thought process there, Jordy? If you're Jimmy Butler going to Miami instead of trying to join up with one of these teams that definitely could be a solid piece, or even accepting that max offer to join a franchise like the Sixers that feels like they are on the cusp of doing something great.
I don't know. Philly loved him. He was their type of player. Miami is, I don't know what, Hassan Whiteside gone to Portland. Look out for the Trailblazers next year. Maybe Pat Riley put all those championship rings on the table, and I don't get it. Maybe he just likes the weather. I don't know. It just doesn't make much sense, because I just don't see Miami being a factor at all. So who knows what goes through these players' minds? Who knows? I sure don't. I can't figure that one out.
I mean, whenever it comes to Jimmy Butler, I mean, you got to think maybe he was getting tired of the cold weather, because he was in Minnesota, Chicago, Philly. Like, I think he probably would much rather the warm weather for a little bit, but it's like, dude, like, you could have gone anywhere else. You could have gone to Houston. You could have gone to San Antonio, somewhere where you could have wound up making an impact, but now going to a Heat team that feels like it's Jimmy Butler and the Butlerettes.
I'm with you. I know they got a good coach. I know they have a good franchise, and they've won before. But man, when LeBron left, they're done.
Yeah,
done.
And also, you had D Wade towards the end of his career, just kept getting hurt. Bosh, all that stuff. Just it's a complete mess. What's going on over there?
Go. You're right.
They have had a tough go of things, Jordy, and of course a couple other things to kind of talk about on this Tuesday afternoon, and a couple more things more towards the NBA. Kawhi Leonard still hasn't made his decision. Do you think he waits until the 4th of July to drop the bombshell?
Oh, why not? What's his hurry? He knows where he's going, and now it's just a question of when does he want to let the world know? Yeah, I mean, the Lakers are on pins and needles. The Clippers are on pins and needles. The whole country of Canada is on pins and needles. I saw a fake tweet. He was coming to the Pelicans. How about that? That would be sweet.
Who knows?
He'll do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. I don't understand what maybe he wants to have all the spotlight on him instead of all the other, you know, getting dispersed among many. He'll do it when he's ready, and somebody's going to be very, very happy, and there's going to be a couple other places that are going to be not so happy. But the Lakers are the team, right? They're the ones that are going, they've only got four people on their roster. Four.
Yeah.
So they're waiting to see how this domino falls, and then they've got to pick up the pieces and go grab some scrap material to put around AD and LeBron and Kyle Kuzma. Good luck.
Oh, exactly, Jordy. Good luck to them. And you got to think about it. Like, you brought up the fact they have only four players on the active roster right now. And, it's making me think, Jordy, do we see Frank Vogel the first game of the season say, my five are on the floor, going full Gene Hackman on us?
Yeah, exactly. We only got four, so we'll just play them. LeBron and AD, I don't know how they're going to do it because you're going to put so much pressure on those two players to play so many minutes, and they start, AD tick breaks down, and you saw for the first time ever LeBron break down from an injury. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure there. So good luck to the Lakers in trying to field some viable players to fill out that roster so they don't have to play AD and LeBron 40 minutes a night, because that's not going to work. That's just too much.
It's not going to work.
But that's their problem. I like the Pelicans roster. The Pelicans have depth. They're going to be all right.
You gotta love what's going on with the Pelicans and their roster, the current makeup. And one more here for you, Jordy. Apparently, the NFL and the NFLPA currently, kind of the CBA talks are supposed to intensify in the month of July. And their goal is to get it done before the start of the 2019 season, because the CBA is going to expire after 2020. Do you see it kind of wrapping up and being able to be in place before week one of the 2019 season, this new CBA, to avoid a potential lockout next year?
These people on both sides cannot be so stupid that they would kill the goose that continues to lay the golden egg. They'll get this thing done because the NFL's too big. People are making too much money. They will work it out. I promise you. There's your Hot Topics for the day, brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet. The Biart family for over 90 years, getting it all right. Finest spices, finest peppers, put it all together, voila. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. 10 good minutes with Shamit Dua of Bourbon Street Shots next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers, and it's right here on the Jordy Holford Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, 10 good minutes is what we get with Shamit Dua, Bourbon Street Shots. Since June 15, the Pelicans have completely flipped their roster. They acquired 10 players over 16 days, changing just about everything about this franchise in the process. Shamit, thank you for your time, buddy. It's been a wild 16 days, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything that David Griffin and his staff have done over the last couple of weeks, like, I don't think anyone could have expected this amount of change right off the gates.
No, you're right. Completely changed everything, the entire feel of the franchise, the entire look of the franchise. We talked to a scout that covers European basketball. He thinks the Nicolò Melli is a steal of a deal for the dollar value and what he brings to the table. In free agency, they've got shooters now. They got Derek Favors as size. You got to give David Griffin and company an A for their efforts.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I think they have really gone out of their way to sort of assemble this roster that is versatile on both ends of the floor. Like you mentioned, they obviously have got the shooters now in J.J. Redick and Nicolò Melli and some of the players already on the team, but they also brought in veterans and leadership. So you kind of look at this hierarchy on the team. You have Drew, obviously he's going to be the leader of the team, and you have guys in his age group and experience level in J.J. Redick and Derek Favors, and you kind of have the next tier of young players, which you get with the Lakers young kids who aren't exactly rookies. They've been in the league for 2-3 years. They're on the come up. And then you have the next wave, which are the rookies. You have Zion Williamson, Jackson Hayes, N'Keal Alexander Walker. So they've really done a good job of staggering the roster for sustainability in the future.
Shamit, do you believe David Griffin and Trajan Landon are done, or you think there's another deal out there for them?
No, I don't. I do not believe that they are done. And honestly, like, this may be a cop out of an answer, but I don't think their job is ever done until they win the championship, of course. But I do think that there are more moves out there for this free agency period. Maybe not so much in terms of a signing outright, but perhaps moving some existing players on the roster. I think the backcourt, the guard rotation, may be getting a little bit crowded. So I wouldn't be surprised if Etuan Moore is moved for a player that fits better in a different position, or even to free up some cap space so they can make a signing.
Okay, makes perfect sense. Summer league about to begin. The team's in Vegas. They're going to practice for a few days, and then they're going to, I think, tip it off on Friday. What do you expect? I mean, I know with Zion Williamson, he's on the team. I know it's on national television. I know they want to kind of show him off. But what's a prudent manner in which to handle Zion in a Vegas summer league environment?
You know, that's a really good question. If I were the staff, I honestly would not play him that many games. I would definitely want him to be there and be a part of the team just to learn the schemes and get used to practices with NBA-level players and familiarize himself with the coaching staff. But I don't think it's worth risking injury in a meaningless league. Plus, you kind of want him to rest up for the USA training camp that he, I don't think we have confirmation that he's going to participate in. He definitely has the invite to participate in the USA basketball training camp for the World Games coming up. So I would try to not play him all too many games. And honestly, if they only played in that premier game, that first game that's going to be on national television, and didn't play him again, I would not be too surprised.
Right. I think that is the most prudent of ways to go about things. You talk about the backcourt being kind of top-heavy, and I agree with you on that. If there was a target out there, what kind of target would that be if you want to move an Etuan Moore? Or is it another big, or are you happy with Favors and Jahlil Okafor and others?
Ideally, I would want someone with positional versatility. So maybe someone that can play either of the big positions at the four or the five, or someone that can play the three or the four, or maybe someone that can take on a little bit more of the playmaking duty. Someone, I think we have a lot of those wing-type players in the sense that you have Josh Hart, you have J.J. Redick. Obviously, Drew's going to get minutes at the starting two spot. So that complicates things, and you have Kenrich Williams. So again, another guy at the forward, but someone that you can double down on a couple different positions. And I think honestly, in the NBA, you can never have too much versatility. So that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, gone are Anthony Davis and Julius Randle and Solomon Hill and Elfrid Payton, Cheick Diallo. I got to believe Ian Clark and Darius Miller are gone too. Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at the roster now, they have the full 15 people. So I'd expect maybe a couple more to be gone before they're done. There just isn't any room to bring some of those other players back.
Shemit Dua, Bourbon Street Shots. I'm of this belief, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. I believe it's very difficult for young players to play with LeBron James. I'm looking for a new lease on life. I'm looking for a rainbow for Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, for sure. I've always been a Josh Hart fan. I think his game travels. I think his game goes anywhere. But I think those two in particular, I think they're ready to break out. Agree or disagree?
I agree, because I don't think that problem is exclusive to young players. I think it's difficult for a lot of players to adjust their games to LeBron James. And I don't mean that in a disrespecting way to LeBron James. Obviously, he is one of the best players of all time. But there comes a certain pressure. There comes a certain expectation when playing with him, and there's also an adjustment because it's LeBron James. He's going to have the ball in his hands for the majority of possessions. So if you're a high usage player or a player that also needs the ball in their hands, your game's going to be compromised and marginalized a little bit. And I think you're right to say that Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball suffered an unnecessary consequence of that when they were in LA, because those are guys that you want to give a little bit of freedom to. You want them to really get the ball in their hands, hit the open floor, make plays for others, and get used to it rather than trying to play off of a star and then have all this pressure for trying to get in the playoffs and compete at the highest level, where the past couple of years the Lakers are all about development and growth, and all of a sudden you've added this massive entity and the script's been completely flipped.
The West seems to be wide open. Do you honestly believe that this roster put together for the Pelicans is a team that can get into one of the top eight spots and make the playoffs next year, or is that asking too much?
I certainly think that's the goal here. And I think any subsequent moves that they make in the next few weeks or months or so are going to be working towards that goal. I do like to temper my expectations just because I don't want the players to feel the pressure of just some sort of arbitrary benchmark that, their season is a failure if they don't make the playoff. I want the environment to be one of growth,
right,
and
right.
to realize, okay, we're going to do things the proper way with the proper process. We're going to take our time developing the younger players, developing Zion Williamson, and we want to make the playoffs doing things the right way rather than trying to take shortcuts where, you go and sign some over-the-hill vets later on and you take away minutes from some of the younger players just to meet this arbitrary win total that you might have in mind. I don't think that helps you in the long term, even though, for the short term that might be a satisfactory outcome. So I think ultimately they probably do end up making the playoffs. I do have faith in this squad. I do have faith in Drew Holiday, but I wouldn't consider the season a disappointment by any means if they didn't.
I'm with you 100%. Shamit Dua, Bourbon Street Shots. Here we are in July. We're still talking basketball. You got to love that. You got to love it, man. Thank you for your time. Happy 4th of July to you and yours. And we look forward always to talking to you whenever we get the chance next time.
Yes, sir. Happy Independence Day, and thank you for having me.
All right, buddy. You take care. Shamit Dua, Bourbon Street Shots. We're going to flip it now to football. The best, Mike Dettillier, next. The Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Major Leza.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Time for my main man, the college pro football analyst, M&D NFL Draft Report, radio, television spokesperson, film. I don't know how y'all fits it in a 24-hour day, but I'm telling you, the football capital of the world of late has been Thibodaux, Louisiana, and that's where we're going to talk to the one and only Mike Dettillier. Michael, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Thank you, Jordy.
I mean, seriously, Thibodaux, between lineman camps and the Manning Passing Academy, my gosh, you've seen some football lately.
Yeah, boy, in the last 10 days, it's really been something. We had a record crowd for the Louisiana line camp. It's the biggest camp in America. We had 526 young men from across the country. Pete Jenkins, who's still heavily involved with this, he was telling me, just unbelievable when they, him and Jesse Daigle and Kenny Farrow started this, that it's grown into this. And a 4-day camp, we get one day off, and then Manning hits. And so it's been great. I think the number was 1128 for Manning this year. So 46 states, Canada, Japan, Australia. Unreal. We've become sort of the camp capital, football-wise, right here in South Louisiana.
Yes. Right in the middle, in the heat and the sweat, but they keep coming. They love it. Mike Dettori, yep, kind enough to join us. All right, so I've got to ask you, Pete Jenkins talks about he loves LSU, heavily involved for so many years. Does he like this LSU football team coming up?
Yeah, he told me he really likes it because he says it's the most diverse offensively he has seen in a long, long time. Really thinks the world of Joe Burrow as a player. And, his deal is I think that the pitch and catch game will do well. I think, his biggest concern is not my biggest concern. His biggest concern is the running game and how well that'll work out. I think that'll work out fine in time. It'll be running back by committee, but that'll work out.
Okay.
He's not as concerned about the offensive line as I am. And I'm not too worried about the center guards. My concern would be the two tackle spots. But, again, he kind of beat the chest on, man, just look at the talent this team has on the defensive side of the football. They're thick all across the board. Really went on about Kalavon Chaisson. And he told me, listen, I've been doing this a long time. Ain't a lot of cats I've seen that can do what he can. And he described him as lightning.
Wow.
And he said, you know what lightning is? If you get close when lightning hits, lightning will knock you off your feet. And he said, if you get hit by lightning, you in trouble. And he said, that's what Kalavon Chaisson is. He's lightning. And, he really went on and on about Delpit and what they've done with him, but he really talked highly of Christian Fulton. He thinks that his comeback from the injury is a big key to their success. And, again, he's like I am, I think every other LSU fan is. You handing the field goal kicking and extra point kicking over to a true freshman, how well he's going to react to this?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to hit everyone.
That's key. Yep. That's my biggest concern.
And my thing is, it's a little bit Martin Anderson told me this years ago. He said, man, it's a lot like golf. He said, when you can get out there and play really well, for a while, and then, one bad swing, and all of a sudden, your game falls apart. And he said, listen, even in the professionals, it's like that. And he said, it's like that as a kicker. It's a mental part of the game. And he says, unless somebody's done it, they can't really describe it. He said, but if you've been in that arena, you understand the pressure with it. And I think the place kicking, field goal, extra point, along with the two tackle, and how that works out, I think is the key to the LSU season. Mm-hmm. And like he told me, hey, listen, get a little bit of health luck. And he said, you need it. You need to get lucky with health.
Yep.
That he said, you know what? This team could be a Final Four team.
Joe Burrow's that kind of guy. Seems to be a guy's guy. One of those guys. I don't want to stereotype, but I remember Matt Mauch, what he brought to the table. I remember Matt Flynn, what he brought to the table. This guy seems to be a rallier. People seem to want to play with him. If he stays injury-free, man, I think he's going to be pretty darn good. You got to see him. What do you see in Joe Burrow now that maybe has changed a lot from a year ago?
Well, one, he's got experience. At Ohio State, he was doing mop-up work. He was a backup guy. He wasn't the guy. And I thought last year he came in without a lot of work with the receivers and did a really good job. And what very few people knew was the injury to Miles Brennan, where they didn't use him as much as a runner, as much as I think they would have liked to, and I think that'll be part of the system more this year than it was a year ago. Personality-wise, he's low-key, doesn't say a lot. But Coach O, we did a couple Tiger tours, him and I together. One of the things he told me is he's like, Mike, he's a quieter version than Bobby Hebert. he couldn't be more vocal. He couldn't talk no more. But, man, he said, you know, he finds a way to win. And he said, you know, Bobby was like that. He said, you know,
yes,
he played with Bobby in high school at Northwestern State. He was like, you know, it's sometimes not conventional. It's not maybe how you drew it up, but he said he found a way to win. And he said, we believed in him. And he said, that's what this team believes in, Joe. No matter what, we believe in you, that you're going to get us out of the fire. And he said, you know, that when you got a quarterback that's that talented, but also that strong of a leader, he said, you know, you got to lean on him a little bit. And you can see sometimes, you know, as Joe's coming off the field and Ogeron's on his behind, you know, and Joe just sort of flips him off. You know, plays like he don't even hear it. And that's right. A little bit like Bobby. You know, Bobby right. was never – he might talk back to another teammate, but he wasn't going to talk back to no coach. And Joe, I think, seemingly knows, right. you know, let Ed – you know, kind of blow the whistle and, you know, the steam comes out and then he'll calm down and everything will be okay. He knows how to handle it. You know why? His uncle and his dad were players and coaches in college. So he grew up around that sort of environment. And
that's right.
He looked good at the Manning camp. Yeah. I'll be honest. I didn't see him throw the first day, but the Friday and Saturday, he really threw the football well. And I was impressed with him. We had Miles here also.
That's awesome.
Friday afternoon, he came through the football with the other 43 college quarterbacks, threw the football around, got a chance to hang around with the Mannings and a little talk with Peyton and everything else. And so that's good for LSU football. My thing is,
awesome.
Man, you learn from everybody in life to a certain extent, especially somebody who has done it at that level. You know, and I've heard some of the dumbest comments in the world. Well, you know, why would he want to be around Peyton Manning and Eli? What? If you're a quarterback, why wouldn't you? It's jealousy. It's the same thing with the John Robinson situation, which I've heard even dumber comments about. But, again, if I had somebody, even though he's 83 years old, and he's not day-to-day coaching, he's not putting up a game plan, but if I had someone who was that successful in the college ranks and one in the pros like what JR did, why wouldn't I want him around me as a sounding board, as someone that could maybe give me some advice, maybe handling things on and off the field? Man, why wouldn't I want that? You know, if Jordy, in your profession, if you had somebody like that that had that type of success that could tell you certain things about the broadcasting world, wouldn't you want that around you? I know I would.
I'm on it. Yeah, I'm like gravy on rice, man. I'm telling you, no question. Mike Dettillier, kind enough to join us. More of the Manning Passing Academy, a who's list of names from the quarterback of Alabama, the quarterback of Clemson, quarterback at all the big names. How do you like them? Where do they stack up on your draft board?
Well, Tua didn't show. He had a slight hamstring, and so he didn't come to the camp. Trevor Lawrence was a little bit late to camp, but, man, he's filled out that frame. He's a big man, and he can rifle it downfield extremely well. And it just you can see just a natural leader out there. And even the young kids to see him, you know, because that face is distinctive. Despite the fact he was a true freshman last year, you've seen that face. And, man, just to watch all these 15, 16-year-old guys who ain't much younger than him, you know, and they were wide-eyed. Impressive guys, Justin Herbert from Oregon, who 2 years ago he came in here, tall, skinny kid. He ain't skinny no more. Man, he's filled out that frame, and he can really whip it. Mm-hmm. Very impressed with him. Jake Fromm also, who's been here back-to-back camps. Man, he's got a rifle. Man, he can put the ball in some real tight spots. I talked about Joe Burrow. One of the young men who I really like, Jordy, and I've seen him on TV, his first time in person, is Jordan Love from Utah State. Now, unless you're watching football at 10:30 on a Saturday night, or you got coin on a Utah State, you ain't watching him. But, man, he's worth the watch. He is talented. and he can whip the ball around
really?
Extremely well. I was very, very impressed with Jordan Love. He's a guy that I think by season's end, a lot more people are going to know about him. And so those are some of the guys that certainly stuck out. You know, if you're looking at a board right now, I told this to Jake, you know, quarterbacks are going to kind of trump everything else. So you can see it's going to be Herbert, Tua,
sure.
Jake. It's going to be those three quarterbacks, you know, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
It's a quarterback-driven league, and they're going to peel off that board pretty quickly.
Mike D'Attilio, kind enough to join us. Grant Delpert's going to peel off kind of quick, too, isn't he?
Yeah, I would put Grant at the five spot. I think he's one of these sort of the hybrid-type players. And I live across the street from a former NFL and college coach in Joe Clark. And Joe always, Joe told me this many years ago, that that's what the game's going to come to. You're not going to have three linebackers on the field. You're going to have two most of the time. And you're going to have a hybrid safety. That's what Grant is. You can play him up on the line of scrimmage, almost like another linebacker. You can play him like a center fielder. You can play him in man coverage. You can play him off
right.
the blitz. I mean, he can do all of that. And so, man, he's an extraordinary
versatile.
Player.
Yeah.
And one of the things, this was, I think, the week before the season started. You know, I was talking to Coach O, and one of the things he told me is, you know, he said, we're going to give Grant a lot of leeway this year. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, no, he said, I'm going to give him a lot of calls that he can make on his own. I said, how unusual is that? He said, well, you know, normally we don't do that. You know, he said, that's not what we did. But he said, you know, I've only had mm-hmm. one guy in my entire career that we've given him leeway as a defensive staff.
Wow.
And I said, who was it? He said, Troy Polamalu. He said, no, listen, I'm not trying to compare him to Troy.
Oh,
but he said, you know, because he said they're different style players. But he says his intelligence, his playmaking skills, his ability to change a game, he's got it in the same area code as Polamalu did at USC. That's saying a lot. Because, listen, Ed don't wave the flag for a lot of people.
Wow.
And for him to say that was before the season started. That to me told me Grant Delpert was going to be a big-time player, and he certainly was.
Mike D'Attilio, one last thing before we let you get out of here. We appreciate your time. When you guys, when the campers went to bed and you guys were talking, did the name Zion ever come up in the conversation? What? It's an amazing factor in that city.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny is how the offensive coaches said, man, I'd love to have him as a tight end. The defensive coaches were, man, I'd love to have him as a defensive end. So, you know, they were already kind of pegging him if he had played football. He sort of has changed, I think, the outlook for New Orleans basketball-wise. Jordy, you grew up sort of the same time frame as me. Basketball, it was an event because Pete was here. You know, it was Maravich. It wasn't so much that you were gone and maybe watch. You were going to watch the team, but you would want to watch. You wanted to watch Showtime with Pete. You know, you wanted to watch Maravich. And,
right.
you know, I think New Orleans has kind of a love-hate relationship with basketball at times. I think, you know, sometimes when they win it, we love them. When they, man, I ain't going to the game. So I think that
That's
along
right.
with moves
That's
made
right.
by David Griffin, I think you can see this now that he's got a whole new change of attitude toward Pelicans basketball. And all this horse hockey that they were trying to fling you at the end of the year. We're playing all these young players because they're going to be back and how great they're going to be next year. Look at that roster today. He didn't wheedle that down. All them young players that were playing last
That's
year,
right.
ain't many of them on the roster no
yep.
more. David understood he had to change it. And we'll
yep.
see how quickly that comes together as a unit. But, man, Zion is a unique player, and also
Ooh.
Personality.
Ooh. Yeah. If I'm the coach, he plays defensive end until we get into the red zone. then he's going to play. He's going to play tight end. I'm going to throw it up high and let him go get it with that 42-inch vertical. Mom didn't raise no stupid chickens. And the other thing, we didn't make that drive from Baton Rouge after practice to the Superdome to watch Aaron James play. I can tell you that. We were there to watch Pete play, and that was it.
Or Neil Walk or Aaron, Aaron James. Truck Robinson was a pretty good player back then. But my thing about it is you went to watch
pretty
Pete.
Good player, but.
And Pete was unbelievable. I tell this to people today. I never went to a football camp in my life because they didn't have them back then. But I went to two Maravich camps, and it was to watch him put on, and he wasn't there a lot, press ran it, but it was there to watch him to see what he could do with a basketball. And I was roommates with a guy from Argentina who actually played in the 76 and 80 Olympics. And Pete would run fast break with you the final day of practice. And Rahul, he wasn't, he was a great rebounder, shot blocker, pretty good dual shot from in the paint. But he could, he didn't know nothing about running the court. Uh-huh. Pete hit him with a behind-the-back pass. Jordy, I swear, the ball hit him at least five different spots on his body before it came flying out of there. And when he comes back, man, we all over him about what happened. He said, I didn't see it. Man, that ball, Pete would whip that ball out so fast, man, you better have your eyes trained on it or you would get hit just like what he did.
I'll never forget. I don't know if I was in the sixth grade or seventh grade, but the caravan, Joe Dean was the speaker, Brad Bryan was the rebounder, and Pete did everything. And for an hour at my soon-to-be high school gym, De La Salle High School, he put on an exhibition. Literally, my jaw dropped for one hour. I had never seen anything like that. I've never seen anything like it to this day. It was phenomenal. I could not believe it. And that was the driving force to put me in that backyard doing all those drills and working my tail off to get a free education to go play basketball. The greatest I've ever seen to this day, and no one can change my mind on that. No one.
Well, I'm in agreement with you on that. The first day of practice, he would do the same sort of routines. And one of the things he would do is he would dribble the ball, get to half court, jump, and throw the ball between his legs and sink it into the goal. And then I saw him do that like four straight times. And, we just turning and looking at one another is, man, we had the wrong camp. There ain't no way we should be on that court with this guy. And here's the crazy part. Actually, at the game, I saw him get hurt where he messed up his knee. He did the exact same thing, but he threw a pass, and he landed awkward. Yeah. But I saw him do that numerous times that he would run, get to half court, and jump and just whip it between his legs. And I'm telling you, Jordy, if he did it 12 times, he sunk it 11. I mean, the only time I saw him miss was like he'd hit the front of the rim and bounce back. And you were like, man, listen, I'm at the wrong camp. I hope they're not expecting me to do that.
The greatest. The greatest. Mike Dettillier is to this as Pete is to basketball. He's the greatest. Mike, thank you. Happy 4th of July to you and your family, man. I greatly appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Jordy. Appreciate it. Happy 4th, everyone.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. Real quick finish. U.S. holds off England 2-1. Alex Morgan's tie-breaking goal in the first half turns out to be the difference. USA advances to the World Cup final. It was on this day, July 2nd, 1921. Jack Dempsey brought in boxing's first million-dollar gate. 91,000 spectators watched Dempsey's four-round knockout, and the purse equaled $1,789,238. Big-time money back in 1921. And today is your birthday. Happy birthday from all of us to all of you. You share with the likes of 30-year-old Alex Morgan, the game winner for Team USA. Margot Robbie, the actress, is 29. Larry David, the comedian, is 72. And Lindsay Lohan is 33. Special thanks to our star-studded cast, Billy Embody, Sam Meyerkoff, Shamit Dua, Mike Dettillier. All those interviews will be up on demand on 1037thegame.com. Tomorrow, we'll go to the boardwalk for the Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest. Can anybody beat Joey Chestnut? We'll talk to a guy from Louisiana who, he got no shot, but he's going to try. I think his best is 34. Can he get to 40? We'll find out. And much, much more. CD, thank you. Thanks to all of you for listening, to our partners that make it possible. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4, same station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.